everyone out there in podcast land. This is the Front Row Network, but it's also Front Row Network with guests, because we are doing the Geek Year in Review. This would actually be the fifth time we've done this if we didn't skip 2017. So
would it really?
Go us.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that.
It's been going on for a while.
Five. Oh.
Yeah.
With Tate's house?
Yes, we did
first?
It at the Neat Right Network,
and then
we brought it over and brought Geek Awakens along the way as well. So, my name is Craig. I'm going to be pseudo-hosting, but I've got two amazing hosts here with me, so they might take over for me at some point during this conversation. But first we have Jeremy Bailey, Lincoln's Legends podcast. Jeremy, give us an update, where you're at with Lincoln's Legends, what's going on, what you've been up to, and just nice to have you here.
Very excited to be here. I'm going to do the same thing I did last year, and that's just cry because I'm in presence of friends. It's weird. It's a really good time. I haven't done a lot of work in the last couple of years, and I feel like I'm the OG now of the Springfield area podcasting. It's weird. I think everybody's under the weather, so if you hear a little gargle, that's what that is. I was telling you guys before we hit the record button that I'm 125,000% obsessed with my child and my life, and when podcasting fits its way in, then I'll be back. But now it's almost to the point where I call myself a lazy jerk because I have new intro music, I have new templates for everything. I just have to sit down with the people and talk. And for some reason, every time I get to that point, my child says or does something that just blows my mind. So it's like, I really want to go talk to the, and he just does things. I'm like, never mind, we're hanging out. This is really important. So I'm very happy to be here again, very happy to just be hanging out with you guys, regardless of the podcast. But 5 years, that's bonkers. That's, I mean, you guys just had your 500th episode as a network picked up by NPR. That just blows my mind to be like a wrinkle in the suit that is the Front Row. I mean, I'm just really proud of what you guys have accomplished, and you know, it's just bonkers to see everyone working so hard to do so many things, and it's really inspiring.
Yeah, well, you know what? We have like, I don't know, like 48 people that do our podcast. So the fact that you do it all solo, it is more difficult to when life happens and things like that. But I will say, you have what? You were at about 60, 65 episodes, and they're out there on the feeds. Because
I went
back and I actually listened to when we were on. It was a couple of months after we started, just Jeremy and I. And you were talking, you said something like, we had just hit 1,000 downloads. And it blew our mind because, you know, we try not to look at download numbers, but at the same time, like, we were just like, oh my goodness, like 1,000 people clicked, or not necessarily 1,000 people, but
absolutely.
People clicked.
They clicked twice. They
that's right. That's right. That's right. People clicked play on this show that we were just coming up with. And you were like, oh, well, someday you'll have 10,000 and someday you'll have 100,000 and all this. And we were just kind of like, ah, that's funny. You know, it's so crazy to see where that evolved from and what it's become. And that 500th episode was so great. And both of you were there. It was so much fun to be able to bring other podcasters with us as well. And so if you do want to go back and listen to those Lincoln's Legends episode, I highly suggest that you do that. You can still find it on any podcast app that you have.
Oh, it's up there. I pay for it every month. It's up there.
It's up there.
Every month. You can get it. It's fine.
So make sure it's a good use of money because you should be funding your child as opposed to this Lipson feed, right?
Well, we were going to lease this beautiful Mercedes. We went to Isringhausen. We sat in it and it just smelled like money. And then we thought about it, and it's just like, maybe we'll get our child a solid educational foundation. So instead we went that route. But I was, what's the word? I'm not smart. I had enough forward thinking where Lincoln's Legends has its own money. So it just comes out of that.
That's good.
So it's not a personal, like, it's not a personal thing. It's just I'm going to have to do some more work very soon in order to justify, you know, another 3 to 5 years of it, because I set everything up for 5 years.
That's awesome.
So it's just been running itself. I don't want to be, like, braggy, and it's really rude to, but there was a time where I could pay the mortgage off of Lincoln's Legends money.
That's great.
So I didn't. spend it. I invested it in whatever it was going to be because it wasn't my money. It was the money of the show that made it. That's something that's really important to me, and I'm learning more and more as a first as a husband than as a father. Is it's not whatever you need, whatever way that you need to fill a need, it has to be a necessity, and you have to find a way to fill it, and you almost have to create more things to pay for more things. So I'm glad I had that mindset in the beginning, because now, I mean, there was never walk around money, but now there's no walk around money yeah. because of that Mercedes that he has in his brain every day. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I will just predict that one of the best days of 2020 for me are when I update my podcast feed and there's a new Lincoln's Legends out there. So I'm looking forward to it quite a bit. And also joining us, Mitch Ladd from The Geek Awakens. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, good, good. So how are things over with the geeks?
You know, we're taking a little short break right now. We always take a couple weeks off during the holidays. It was really funny. Last year, we talked about only taking off, like, the week of Christmas. Like, and, like, then something happened, like, the week of New Year's, and, like, we just didn't have a show. And it was like, okay, clearly this was meant to be. That we should have 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks off. So we're in the middle of that. But otherwise, I mean, we're going along. We're starting to plan our convention season. Which we've been invited to this convention. This is, like, I think the third year that we're going. Mm-hmm. It's called LodgeCon. It's up by Chicago. And so this is, like, a kind of a big time for us because, like, you know, we hopefully are going to have, like, you know, like, we're going to, like, plan panels and things like that. You know, it's a lot of fun. But then, like, C2E2 is, like, later that same month.
Uh-huh.
And it's, like, you guys do know that, like, That's a lot of money coming out of my wallet all at once, so that's fantastic.
But. Yeah, because you guys have you've really covered cons even more. You've done it for longer than we have as a network, for sure. Because for a while there, we hit up the Comic Cons in St. Louis, and that was really it. We've never been to C2E2. We're hoping to change that soon. We went to ACE this past fall, and then we also went to Wizard World Chicago. It was cool having you guys at Wizard World Chicago because you kind of knew the lay of the land and, like, where to go and what to do. So that was really awesome to have you guys around. But how to promote your show? Where can people find you? How can they download Geek Awakens?
Yeah, so it's the Geek Awakens podcast. It's on pretty much wherever you get your podcasts. As far as, like, social network goes, like, Geek Awakens podcast on Facebook, Instagram. That's too long for Twitter, so it's just Geek Awakens on Twitter. But yeah, and if I'm going to be completely honest, Twitter is probably the least active that we're on. About the only thing that I post on Twitter is links to what I post on Instagram.
I get it.
I will say this, though, and it blows, because if you get one retweet or one at reply, you get instant credibility.
True. Mm-hmm.
And it's because Pickett and I were in the pilot. We watched the pilot at Wizard World for Supergirl. And one of those retweets helped put me on the map for the next 6 months. It was bonkers. So it sucks. It's like a necessary evil.
And it's a grind. I mean, it really is. Like, but it is funny.
Has anybody seen me post in the last, like, 6 months? I've got two of them. I can't with you people.
You have it's so funny, too, the stories that you get, because Lou Hare, who does our Guilty Pleasures, just did The Night Before Christmas, which is the Netflix wannabe Hallmark movie for Christmas. And he posted our full disclosure about it and our Guilty Pleasures about it. And the writer of the movie liked the tweet and then subsequently unliked the tweet. So I think they went on and started listening and decided maybe that wasn't the tweet to promote. So, but we're going to just talk about 2019 in the year in geek. You know, we're living in a world where we play the world as geeks, and we get to just enjoy everything that we would have ever dreamed of as a child come on the screen, whether that be at the movie theater, in our own homes, on our phones, whatever streaming platform you want to use. It's just there's so much content out there. And even looking at this list, I omitted one of my favorite shows of this year. And it's just like one of those things where I'm sure we're going to have things beyond the list that
sensory
we sent
overload.
Around. Well, I forgot about The Boys, guys. It's not on this list. So I definitely we want to talk about that for sure. But let's go right into films and start off the year strong with Captain Marvel that came out in March. And I don't know exactly the release dates of everything, so it's not like we're going to go in chronological order. I do just know my year started strong when Captain Marvel hit the screen. It was cool to see a 90s version of not only Sam Jackson, but just kind of that 90s feel to things. You all know, and I know, Jeremy, you're a huge lover of Kevin Smith, so having that Stan Lee cameo be Clerks was Mallrats was just so awesome. And it just, I know how much that probably meant to Kevin Smith to be like credited that way in a Marvel movie. So it was just a really neat thing to see. But talk to me about Captain Marvel. What were your thoughts? What'd you like? What you didn't like? Just go ahead and go. Mitch?
Yeah, so Captain Marvel was like, it was kind of a slow burn for me. I remember leaving the theater and being like, I liked it. It was good, you know. But then, like, the more I would talk about to people about it, like, later on, I'd be like, oh, yeah, but there was this really cool part, and there was this really cool part. And then I kind of, like, had, like, a moment to myself. I was like, did I like Captain Marvel way more than I initially thought I did? But, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I loved all the 90s homages. Using Just a Girl for, like, the soundtrack for, like, that big, like, you know, epic fight scene was, like, that was brilliant.
Absolutely.
Absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely. It was so great. Bailey, did you get to see this one?
It stole my heart. All right, so I'm a Tarantino. This just a pinch. I have been married since March 26th of 2016, and I feel still like I'm the luckiest dude on the planet because my wife brought me into this. She let me know it was okay to enjoy all of this, and to be able to go with her and watch it through her eyes and also know that she's lived her entire life a Captain America fan, a Thor fan, you know, Tony Stark fan. Just she was a fan of this guy's playhouse, and just to be able to watch it, and it's almost like I felt a deep appreciation for that with Black Panther as well. It was just two versions, identities get to come and enjoy what's theirs. It's like we, as dudes, have had it for so long. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, essentially we take it for granted. I mean, almost all the stuff that we grew up on, it's just, you know, male-driven. And I felt it was unapologetic. I felt that it was... This movie hit so hard, people complained that the Nine Inch Nails shirt was a bootleg. I mean, that's the cultural impact that it had. And, I mean, Trent Reznor, in his own right, is a god of music. But to know that that was a part so that there's Nine Inch Nails fans commenting on a Captain Marvel movie, that's just – that's everything. There was a lot of backlash from this movie, and I saw it through the eyes of – it's not your movie. It's not for you. Like, how dare you yell at this person? It's not for you to comment about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we live in an outrage culture. People are pissed about everything, but if they look inside themselves, they'll find out they're just really pissed or insecure about themselves, and that's kind of what it is. Tons of rejection, but I just love the fact that, I mean, I feel along with the Star Wars properties, like the young girls finally get theirs. And it's not this Disney princess that needs to be rescued. And it's crazy that, like, Frozen kind of led that path. Mm-hmm. And it's just – it's beautiful to see that. Bald like a little girl when I saw Stan Lee. I've always had this weird – anytime someone just references Kevin Smith – I feel like he's our uncle.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny because I was listening to Silent but Deadly on the way over here because I hadn't listened to it yet, and I don't have Showtime. But I was like, I wonder if that album's on Spotify, and it totally is. So I was just listening to that, and I'm just thinking, like in my mind, I'm like, this guy is about to have a heart attack, like literally like 2 minutes after he gets off stage here. It's crazy to think that you're kind of listening to that, and that was in the back of my mind the whole way. But yeah, no, it was so cool. It was such a talk about credibility, and he's had a lot of that this year, and we can definitely gush on him. We're going to talk about our podcast and stuff like that. But I mean, just even Clerks being admitted to the National Film Registry, things like that.
But that movie is just the – that they gave that back to Kevin when Kevin was there for Stan when no one gave a shit about him.
Yeah.
That's what's important.
Mm-hmm.
It's – and we can – forgive me if I want to gush about Marvel as much, but I feel along the lines – excuse me. I appreciate Kevin Smith's thinking and ideas of explaining and referencing that that could be our Greek mythology. And to know that they – I don't know. They, well, Kevin Smith's always been female first as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of his stuff too. But it's just – it was a beautiful film. I love that Jude Law was in it because people were going to see it whether they liked it or not because of his background. I love the way that they handled the special effects. Sam Jackson. It was just – it was a really fun ride, and I'm excited for the next one.
Yeah, two movies that did de-aging a lot this year, Captain Marvel and then The Irishman, and it's funny because, like, both of them you could kind of tell, like, oh, this is still, like, a 60, 70-year-old man trying to play a 45-year-old man, but still, just a great movie, and it led us into it. It really had to establish who this character was, introduce her, because we knew that she would play somewhat of a role in Endgame, and at the time, a lot of fan theories were she was going to come in and really truly save the day. And of course, that's not necessarily what happened. She definitely contributed to the outcome of Thanos being defeated a couple of months later. But that experience of sitting in the theater and watching Endgame, I don't know if that's going to be replicated again, like, in my lifetime. Like, it was so incredible, just the atmosphere inside that theater, all these fans on opening night, the culmination of 21 different films coming together, and in my mind, just doing it so seamlessly. And it was just absolutely – I mean, you can go back and listen to our episodes about it, but I loved that film through and through. And yes, there are hardly any perfect movies, so if we wanted to critique everything, but just the emotional connectiveness that the Russos were able to get and in their picture, it just absolutely blew my mind how well they stuck the landing. And I'm always going to remember On Your Left, like that moment, and especially for that character, because Captain America has always been the character I follow more than anything. And at the end of the movie, when I knew that they were going to be – he had to pass off the shield.
Right.
And in my mind, I kept thinking – I've been saying it for, like, the last 3 years. I really want to see it go to Sam instead of Bucky. I want them to kind of skip over that Winter Soldier arc. I think particularly right now, you can say a lot through these films to our own context.
Yeah.
And you can make it really relatable and really relevant in
sure.
a way that's not over the top.
Yeah.
And America just really needs a black Captain America right now, you know? So it just, when that happened at the end, oh gosh. And then him dancing with Peggy, just so perfect all the way through. So Jeremy, let you talk about Endgame first.
I hope that some people can understand at the end of the day, they're following something that inspires them. Whether it's Pepsi, Coca-Cola, Cubs, Cardinals, it sounds cliche, but it's a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that people can see the passion that we have as if this is larger than the Super Bowl. This is larger than the World Series, because this will happen once. All these stories were told leading up to this, and it... Again, I think the people that didn't like it didn't get it, and it wasn't mm-hmm. for them, and that's fine. I still haven't watched it again. I don't want to go back there. I don't. Because it's such an emotional roller coaster.
Uh-huh.
I saw the Homecoming, or forgive me, Far From Home, and I spent half the movie just thinking about Tony Stark.
Well, I mean, that may be part of the point.
No, I know. And even, like, the whole – the just the dynamics between all the relationships and the people that aren't coming back and the people that get to move forward. And I'm just so emotionally invested in these characters. There's no perfect movie.
Yeah.
But I saw everything – oh, forgive me. The last couple of years, mental health has been a very important conversation and how to navigate different things. And I burst into a little bit of tears when
Thor was still worthy to hold Mjolnir, or Stormbreaker, forgive me, even though he was physically a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the way the story was told, because we all have this idea of the best version of ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's not us every day. And a lot of us have challenges, long-term, short-term, weight gain. A lot of people have it. Depression. I'm sure everybody's got it. But just to see that, and I'm, forgive me, I'm trying not to cry now. Just to see that the largest franchise and brand in the world said it's okay. And they shared that. I think that's what I took the most. It was, I mean, every character got their moment in the sun. But for me, what really hit home was how Thor had lost everything and continued to lose everything. And he got up and he was a mess and he still said, we're going to get shit done.
Mm-hmm.
And he was still worthy enough to wield the Stormbreaker. And I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You know, and what's so interesting about that, talk about, there's a lot of ego. There's a lot of, you have to have a certain kind of charisma to be basically a screenwriter in Hollywood right now, because you're going to get knocked down a peg. I mean, just look at what's happening to Rise of Skywalker right now, and we'll get to there. but so it's funny to me that Marvel and Russo's, and then they all came together and they were like, you know what movie we're going to put you back into? Thor the Dark World. Because that is the movie that's typically thought of as the worst MCU film. And it's like, we're going to make you revisit that. We're going to take you back there.
Yeah.
But just a really great way of how it's done. Mitch, talk to me about Endgame.
Yeah.
And your thoughts.
So first, I want to go back real quick to passing the shield off to Sam. Like, there was part of me that wanted Bucky to get the shield, just because, even though, like, I'm not the type of person to cry out over, like, oh, well, you know, they didn't follow the comics or they didn't follow the source material. It's in a different universe. That's, you know, it's whatever. But I did want to see Bucky to get the shield. But at the same time, it's like, after thinking about it, it's like, yeah, but this Bucky wouldn't want to be Captain America, right. I don't think.
Right.
But yeah, so you're right. That moment was just phenomenal.
Well, and you being such a comic book fan, like, I know you got to love Ed Brubaker and what he did with that character, and like, just really brought Winter Soldier as Captain America to this really cool place of intrigue, and like basically made into a spy novel every single issue. It was really cool how they did it. And he, of course, has gone on to do so many cool independent comics as well for Image and a couple of others. But yeah, just really great stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
but yeah, Endgame for me, it was just such a huge mix of emotions. I'm a huge Hawkeye fan. I mean, Hawkeye might be, if not, he's definitely one of my favorite Marvel characters. I don't know that I can name just one singularly. So to see him kind of go from, even though, hey, I'm under house arrest, but I'm still with my family, you know, whatever, and to see all that taken away from him and to kind of see him get his kind of redemption arc or whatever in a whole movie was amazing. I am still, like, to this day, kicking myself that I didn't realize what was going to happen with him and Black Widow on that one planet. I cannot think of the name of it right now, but with Red Skull. Mm-hmm. And it's like, until, like, they're fighting over who's going to get to die. And I'm like, I was like, oh, yeah, they're going to just get the stone and come back. It'll all be cool. Oh, wait, no, they're not both going to come back. Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just such an emotional roller coaster all the way through, and just really, really stuck the landing, and really set a very high bar for a lot of properties to come. So since we're on the MCU, let's go ahead and wrap it up with Spidey Far From Home. Of course, this was the second Sony-Marvel joint picture, and it won't be the last, all because of a drunk Tom Holland calling Bob Iger from a pub in Europe. Just everything about that makes me so happy that he just called and was just like, Mom, I want to come back. And that they're going to allow it to do it, because in a way, the post-credit scene for Spider-Man Far From Home for me, like, that 2 minutes could have it was almost just as good as the full movie. Mm-hmm. And so I have to remember how good of a way they did Mysterio and how they were toying with this idea that he was going to be the good guy. And then the mirage like fades away in that bar. And just you're like, oh, that is so great. Because talk about going away from the comic book material. When they were that first half of the movie, I'm thinking, well, you know, I guess they've been saying that Mysterio is going to be the good guy along with Spider-Man. And then they have that turn finally, and you're like, oh, no, they just did a really great job of marketing this to get that news out there that they're going to look at a different type of Mysterio. So what are your thoughts on Spider-Man Far From Home?
They didn't fool me for a second with Mysterio.
Yeah, you were there.
I was like, okay. Yeah, and I was like, it wasn't like it took me out of the film, but I was like spending like a few minutes, like a good chunk would be like, okay, how are they going to do it? How are they going to do it? But the casting for both of these films has just been phenomenal. I mean, I've loved every second of Zendaya as MJ. Uh-huh. I don't think in Hollywood right now you could have cast somebody better as Tom Holland, both for Peter Parker and Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. But I'm so happy that we are going to get more of that because of that post-credit scene with, you know, J. Jonah Jameson, like, unmasking Spider-Man. It's like, I needed to know how that's going to play out.
Yeah.
Even though, like, it does kind of bum me out because it's like, not necessarily bum me out, but, like, I'm interested to see that kind of dynamic because one of the things that I do love about the Spider-Man comics, especially earlier on, is the dichotomy between Peter and Jonah, like, when he's working for the Bugle and all this and that. But as of right now, I don't think we're going to get to see anything like that mm-hmm. because everybody knows who Spider-Man is now. So
right, exactly. And he's definitely, unless, you know, it can't even work out like that because they've already unmasked him. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. It would have been, you know, Sony, they pulled off, in my mind, the best Spider-Man picture ever in Into the Spider-Verse last year. So it's not like they don't know the character, but it would have been odd to have to basically wash away every bit of Tony Stark in that relationship if Sony had went with a solo. Mm-hmm. Like, we just spent this entire last picture about how much of a connection these two had and how he is going to be looked to as potentially the replacement for Iron Man. And then if that would have completely gone away, it just would have been really kind of a weird and choppy edit to get there, you know? So yeah. I'm glad that they made the deal.
You're absolutely right. And like, and that's something that I hadn't thought about. I was thinking of it more along the other way when all this news was breaking that, oh, hey, we're not going to get any more Spider-Man in the MCU. Cause it was like with Spider-Man, his main connection to the Avengers and everything was Iron Man. Mm-hmm. With Iron Man out of the picture, like, they could easily just not explain Spider-Man's disappearance or just like have a throwaway line, you know, like explaining something. But I never really thought about, you know, well, if we're going to get more Spider-Man movies from Sony, how do you reference that? How do you not bring up Spider-Man's mentor?
Right. Exactly. Mr. Bailey?
I think this is the most visually beautiful movie since Doctor Strange. I had a migraine the day that I saw Doctor Strange. It wasn't a great idea, but it was coming out, and I wasn't going to miss it for nobody. Mm-hmm. And so I watched it with one eye open and just saw these worlds fold in and this beautiful stuff. I think that's what I hold on to the most is what they can do. And not only can they trick you with story, but now they can just create an entire world mm-hmm. that's not real inside a world.
And kind of tie it to a bit of realism. I mean, we know that Spider-Man's not over there swinging in New York, but the fact that they made Mysterio so tied to like drone technology and things that really could. So it took away that mysticism, which I understand that some people would be like, this is how it was in the comics, but it grounded it more in reality. Mm-hmm. And they very much did the same thing with Vulture in Homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
Like they gave you
felt bad for him.
Yeah, they gave you the thought that this technology is there potentially. Yeah. I mean, this is not something that is completely unrealistic. And I thought that was a cool way to do it and cool way to handle it.
I really loved the black suit. I was badass. I was waiting for it. The Marvel franchise has just delivered so many times that I'm extremely apprehensive to see our toys go into a different sandbox.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're going to bring up Venom or if that was last year, because this year is just meshed together.
That was technically last year. I actually still haven't seen it. Lou Hare, again, our Guilty Pleasures guy, he really enjoyed that flick a lot. But, you know, I do think that bringing him into this version of Spider-Man might not be such a bad idea, because it's his big bad. I mean, like, are you going to bring in Carnage or are you going to bring in Venom? You know, that's the next level for me.
I understand.
So
it's just there's so much going on, and I was trying to get some points of reference. I apologize. I should have set this up earlier. But I spent the entire movie mourning Tony Stark's death, worrying about this kid, because he's still a child.
Mm-hmm.
How does he handle all this stuff? And I hate to bring it back to Stan, but that was the closest character to Stan Lee as a person.
Yeah.
So it's – and we're mourning everybody. So we're mourning Stan. We're mourning Tony. And then we see this kid trying to navigate through life. And I'm really excited to see more of it. I don't know where that suit's going to go, because we've done everything with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you've kind of seen almost every iteation.
Yeah.
It's been
two movies.
Yeah.
I mean, two full-length movies.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be really interesting to see. This is just a quick poll, because it's the next.
Forgive me.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
The snap. Some people.
The blip.
Some people grew up, some people didn't.
Yeah, I love that. God. And I love that they didn't call it the snap there, because people wouldn't have necessarily been there to see Thanos snap it. So we all referred to it as a snap in this reality, right, in this world, but they called it the blip there. And I just thought that was such a cool little thing that they did, where they're like, well, yeah, no, they have like their own verbiage for it. Like they didn't end up calling it this.
And I love that little punk kid that's like totally inspired by Tony Stark, but calls Peter Parker a dick, because that kid exists in real life. He is there. He's a champion of everything that you do, but he doesn't know it's you. And then if it's you, he's like, no,
man,
yeah.
So great.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Real quick, yes, no, kind of an answer on this. Our next film is going to be Black Widow. We obviously know what happened to her in the game. So is this going to bring Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow back to the MCU at the end of this film? Is it going to be tied into something like that? Or is this truly, as they're painting it, a prequel-type film?
I don't know that I can give a quick answer to this.
Okay. Fair enough.
If I'm going to be completely honest.
All right. So passing the buck.
Isn't there a post-credit scene where Tony is trying to trade?
That was something that was like a deleted scene that just came out that they just released not too long ago.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
It's going to go one of two ways, I would think. Either you shut it down completely and let it live in where it is now. How much meat is left in the bones?
Uh-huh.
How much?
Right.
And I'm not saying I don't want the story, but how much is there left to tell?
Yeah.
So I think with this one, I think when Captain Marvel went through the roof, they're like, well, hell yeah, somebody else is getting a movie too. I get it. That's fine.
And she deserves her own movie.
Absolutely.
It's a long time coming.
And the dude's
sure.
got like five other movies. Captain America 7. It's gonna go on forever, right? Yeah. They're gonna pick a different guy, it's gonna be fine.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying I don't want to see that movie, but I just don't know after this what story is left to be told. One of my favorites is Winter Soldier. That's a James Bond movie. That is amazing. And she's great in that movie.
That's what makes me so irritated when people were saying, oh, they didn't put a female lead out in front of a movie for so long, and Wonder Woman beat it, two of them. And good on DC to actually put like the titular character of Wonder Woman out there, because that is something that needed to happen, like you were saying earlier. But to say that Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow is not the lead right there with Chris Evans' Captain America in Winter Soldier is to truly discredit her.
Who said that?
You know, it's just like going back and watching that movie, there are so many times where if she's not there, Captain America dies. Like there are so many instances where he's needing to rely on her. And so anyway.
Well, there's even the Banner relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. There's a lot that she was able to do. I will say that I have two reasons why I want this to be an actual prequel. One is that I just saw her in Marriage Story literally today, and I think that she's probably ready to move on from the character, and this is going to be kind of a swan song for her. I do think they're introducing her sister here, so it's very easy that you could then incorporate her sister potentially into future movies. But then I'll also say that the real reason I want this to remain a prequel is that for the last year and a half, my brother has been saying that it's going to that she's not really dead and she's going to come back, but seemingly for the last year and a half, even though it just came out in May, and I want him to be wrong. So that I just want him to be wrong about that.
I didn't know you had a brother.
Anyway, we've talked about go ahead.
Well, yeah, I want to say real quick here. My thing with it being a prequel, if it truly is, I really wish that we had gotten this before Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, sure. You know, like, we saw this, you know, like, beautiful, heartbreaking death of this character, and then here it is a year later, oh, this character gets her own movie. Like, I don't know. And the trailers, I don't know. There's something weird about them.
Yeah, you know, and I get that. I do think it's weird to be starting the next phase of your movies with a character that's already dead and kind of as a requiem kind of a movie. But at the same time, they could move forward with one of these other characters. Mm-hmm. They could use it to increase Hawkeye's story. There's a lot there that they can chew on. And, you know, Kevin Feige might want to be establishing the fact that some of these movies are just independent solo type films on their own. He said that there's not going to be a Avengers level event for several years, you know. So I do think that maybe they can stand alone on their own. So we'll see back. I guess it comes out May 2nd of 2020. So we'll be in the theater, and you can follow all of our feeds for reaction to that. So we spent a lot of time talking about the MCU, but that's because they are the geek movies that are just doing just gangbusters at the box office and just really cashing it in. But now let's talk about some of the other properties. I will say one of the properties we will not be talking about tonight, because none of us saw it, was X-Men Dark Phoenix. And I will say it was a really tough sell for me to go into that movie, just because Age of Apocalypse wasn't that great. I am one of those probably in the minority, and I understand that didn't really care for First Class. And I'm just so glad that Fox and Disney are now a thing, and so those characters are going to be starting to be incorporated in some way into the MCU, because, again, we saw what they did with Sony's property and with Spider-Man, and how they did a great job of casting, and they did a great job of storytelling and painting that into the universe. So I'm just really happy to see that is finally going to be coming in to the sandbox as well.
I feel like fans got one thing from 9 movies, and that was Wolverine.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And he
but
wasn't even in this.
So many other strong characters. I really feel that they shat the bed with this movie. I sent you guys a text of the Fox animated series.
Mm-hmm. Which is available on Disney. 20-minute
episode.
Plus.
That's what you need to watch. It's there. The strongest mutant ever created. And this is that's your story?
Yeah.
You could have been Captain Marvel, but that was your fault. You messed it up for everybody. They had their chance. That's the question. In today's society, with the landscape, how do you mess that up?
You know, and they're the ones that, if you think back to the Singer movies and things, mm-hmm. they're really the ones that you can credit a couple of different places. You could say it was Blade in the 90s. You could say that it was X-Men at the start of the 2000s. You could then say it's Chris Nolan with Batman Begins. Where does this superhero bubble start? And they definitely were a part of it. But it's so funny to go back to those. And how Marvel has said, because one of the things that Fox was saying at the time was like, oh, no, we've got to put them all like in navy blue jumpsuits because people won't buy what they looked like in the comic books. Well, that's what we want to see on screen.
Yep, yep.
Like, we want to see Wolverine.
They
in
ruined
bright
Gambit.
Yellow. Like,
Gambit,
you know,
was in the zeitgeist for like 15 minutes.
Yeah. Just,
and that could have been beautiful.
Absolutely.
Just
absolutely.
Woof. Buy the animated series. Watch the animated series on Disney Plus.
On Disney Plus. This is going to turn into a Disney
life.
Plus. It is not going to be my fault if it turns into a Disney Plus commercial, much like all of my Beyond the Mouse shows have as of late. So.
I brought it up. It's fine.
Across the street.
Yes.
Our friends at DC brought out two films this year, not connected much to anything of the DCEU, because that is sort of in flux and maybe not even a really a thing anymore. I guess we'll kind of find out when Wonder Woman 84 comes out next year.
Give it all to James Gunn. Give it all to James Gunn, just give and the it director all, yeah. of Wonder
just
Woman.
Do it. Just
yeah,
do
I was
it
about
all.
To say, yeah, give it all to James Gunn. Give it to the director of Wonder Woman, and y'all will be fine.
Absolutely. Two films. I only had the pleasure of seeing one because I didn't make it into the movie theater to see Joker. So I'm going to let Mitch take that, and Bailey, if you got a chance to see that,
I did.
And so I'll let you talk about that. But let's talk about Shazam first, because
Woo!
Shazam for me.
It's Christmas movie forever.
It is a Christmas movie. It's so great to have a superhero movie. People are arguing Iron Man 3 is a Christmas movie, but like Shazam is a Christmas movie. Like, it is a Christmas movie. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun for me.
It was such
a departure from what they had done in the past. And it was so, it was a relief for me because this is a fun character. It's an obnoxious character that, you know, it's a small boy that turns into this hero. Like, you have to allow it to be funny and light and airy. And that's exactly what they did. So, did you get a chance to see Shazam?
Yeah, I did. And yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, it was such a lighthearted tone, and you know, it's one of those things like with DC, and I hope that they did like learn this like with Shazam and like with Wonder Woman, where it's like it doesn't have to be all dark and brooding. You can have different genres within the superhero genre. But I think that they knocked it out of the park with Shazam. You know, it was lighthearted, it was fun, you know, but yeah, and Zachary Levi was just phenomenal in the role.
God, I just love him and everything that he does. Like, I was such a huge Chuck fan. You know, I was working at the Geek Squad at the time, so I was the nerd herd was like a second home for me, you know. But just everything that man does, he's on Broadway and has a great voice as well. Just a really cool, seemingly a really cool guy. And so I really liked him as this superhero, and I hope that he continues and is able to do that. It's interesting that they are taking the tack now, at least in appearance, to say that these are not necessarily connected and they are going to do these one-off type films, because you mentioned that it's nice to see DC not having such a gloomy movie. We're about to talk about potentially one of the gloomiest movies of the year, right? So, and again, I haven't seen it yet, but I've certainly, you know, I had to go in and I had to read the spoilers and see how go ahead and talk Shazam.
Okay. I'm at the point in my life where I research the people before I go see their art. And I've spent the last 2 years extremely inspired by Michael Rosenbaum's podcast. Inside of You, In Love, Zachary Levi came on that show and just laid it all out there. Just 100% conversations about mental health. Like, hey, I was Chuck. Like, had we had all this stuff, I could have been on social media. It could have been larger. It could have been longer. It could have been faster. I do the things that I do because there's some dark things in his past. He worked through it. It's just, I believe in him as a person. And then I get to see him do his art, and knowing that he was in Thor, knowing that he has tried out for every single role that we have seen, these blockbuster movies, and he finally got his shot, and he himself said that he was emotionally ready for it, and he just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
I mean, you believe that it's him. You believe that he's a 13-year-old kid that's vulnerable. And it's beautiful to know that they are good people and they're excellent artists all at the same time. Because, you know, we hear stories all the time about people are too busy to talk to people, or people are stressed out, or people are flipping out, or people don't take care of their kids, you know, all kinds of stuff. But yeah. I absolutely love it. And this will be a movie that is right next to Die Hard that I watch every Christmas.
Yeah, it's great. And just think, in our future, sometime there will be a title card that is Zachary Levi and Dwayne Johnson. It's going to be a very cool combination when that happens.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a really neat.
And they're both hams.
It's going to be a great movie. Yeah, it'll be, it's going to be awesome. So Now I'll pass the baton. I'll let you take over and talk a bit about Joker. Again, don't bother. You know, you don't have to worry about spoiling it for me. It does come out to rent, I think, like next week. So I probably will pick it up like as soon as I can. But it's just one that I didn't. I was going to try to make it to the theater for, but then everybody just kept coming out and saying like how depressing it was, and I was just like, I get it. Like, it's cool that it's going to be in the Best Picture race potentially. It's going to, you know, Joaquin Phoenix is going to get some accolades for it. I get that, but like, right now, that's not how I want to spend a few hours in the theater. So anyway, go ahead.
I will go to my grave saying that Joker did not start out as a Joker movie. I 100% believe that it started out as a different movie, and they're like, hey, we can get this to be more commercially viable if we change a few things, make him Joker, slap the DC label on it, we're good to go. That said, I mean, it was
insightful.
It was a good movie. I enjoyed it. You're absolutely right. Like, I feel like I always like leave the theater, you know, like kind of like bouncing and excited. That did not happen this time. Like, I was like, yeah, just like silent, you know, whatever. Got in the car, but yeah, I am mad at myself that with the that I didn't see the twist coming with the love interest. I thought that she was going to end up being kind of like a Harley Quinn stand-in, and then end of the movie, it's like, oh yeah, all those scenes were just him imagining being with her. Okay, cool, but yeah, I enjoyed it. I hope we don't get a sequel out of this movie. I'm sure that we will, because it made $1 billion, and you know, but it's like, I felt like this was kind of the movie, especially with the ending that we got. It was open-ended, but open-ended on purpose, and I don't think that I want to be able to kind of make up my own like continuation for it.
Can I and I don't want to cut you off, can I insert a now he said it's not necessarily like a fan theory. He said Kevin Smith has been back on his podcast now, and he has been talking about how he had spoken to someone involved heavily in the production. He can't say who, but there. And again, I haven't seen the ending of the movie, but I do know that there's a connection to Martha and Thomas Wayne's death. And I guess the original ending of the movie, as it was scripted, was that you were going to see Joker and he was going to be in the hospital, but then it's going to flash back to he was actually the one that killed Thomas and Martha Wayne. And then he sees this little kid crying on, you know, just crying over the death of his parents. And then he turns around and shoots the kid. And that was going to be the end of the movie. Now,
weird.
So it would be like kind of the exclamation point, like there is no hope, there is no Batman, there is no, you know, like that was going to be what Todd Phillips wanted to present. So a little even more dark potentially, right, than where it went. Right. So Jeremy, talk to me about Joker.
Well, first I want to comment on that last one. So have you heard the fan theory that Batman is simply a fever dream,
mm-hmm,
of Bruce Wayne?
Yeah.
Just didn't happen.
Right.
Just coping, right? The way that people cope with different things. Wow, I really feel like this whole podcast.
It's been a mental health type of podcast.
So
we need it in 2019. I feel like
I've been in different circles, putting myself there with people that I genuinely care about, and I was doing some work with a dear friend of mine. And he asked me if I'd seen it, and I said, it was horrifying. And he said, I took my son to it last night, and my son was 13 years old, and it's the most graphic movie he's ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the information of the commentary, that it's a commentary on what's going on right now, with division of people, and then it's a nod to this and a nod to that. I don't know. I love your... my brain, I can't use words right now.
His take on it?
Yes, thank you. I love his take on the fact that it wasn't even a Joker movie.
Yeah.
Because this could stand on its own. This movie was very unapologetic, very raw. This movie sent me down a rabbit hole of fan theories on YouTube for a week after I watched it. What does it mean? What does that mean? Oh my God, this happened. This didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I don't know how many people are listening that know me personally, but for a large part of my life dealing with stress, I don't get upset. I just cackle.
Yeah.
So I had to be very careful about bursting out into laughing around people when this movie came out because I didn't want them to think I had an illness because I would much rather. I'm learning that if I have anxiety as a trigger, I just laugh.
Yeah.
I just giggle. I just walk away. It's not worth it for everything to come over and to lose my mind about things or lose moments, I guess. I thought that was very poignant and there are many, many people that deal with things every day on a, I guess I've already said this in the podcast, but the way that he dealt with it, I hope for all of us that it was a fever dream.
Mm-hmm.
I hope for all of us that he was, because I really feel that he represented the worst part of all of us in this movie. And that's why it was so graphic. I mean, take away the gunshots and the fights and the brutality of it, the actual conception of it and going to that dark place is graphic.
Yeah.
And I hope that people see this and they talk about it and they share when they have dark times and they know that they don't actually have to go through these things by themselves. So in a way we needed it. I mean, you just said we need mental health in this, awareness in the world that we live in now. And we need community more than ever. And I really try and look at the positive from this movie, and it just resonates with me that a 13-year-old said it was the most violent movie they'd ever seen in their life when you have access to YouTube and you can see somebody get shot in the face. If you go to the right page, you can get there. So, yeah. But I enjoyed it on an awareness level, but it also, just as you, Mitch, like I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe what I'm seeing. I don't want to be really excited that this movie was so graphic, so I definitely want to put that out there. But sometimes you have to see it in order to realize what it is and to talk about it.
Yeah, no, I get that. Now, before we go to Rise of Skywalker, I do want to say that there's a lot of other movies out here this year that were just not necessarily like tertiarily geek-related type movies. I want to put on record that I actually enjoyed a Quentin Tarantino film. I have disliked him as a director for so long, but Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was really good. It was really captivating, and he did Tarantino out in the last like 5 minutes of that movie. Like, we went hard Tarantino. But it was a really good film. I posted on my personal Facebook page today that Knives Out was my movie of the year. I absolutely loved that film. But I wanted to at least let you guys, if there was another movie that really spoke to you this year, you can just kind of throw that in, and then we'll finish this segment up with Rise of Skywalker. So any other films that you can think of?
And this kind of like ties into something else that you had talked about in terms of movies, but like some of the movies that Disney put out that were adaptations of their earlier animated movies. I saw both Aladdin and Lion King. I really enjoyed both of these movies for different reasons.
Yeah.
I liked how Aladdin was still kind of the same story, but it was different enough.
Yeah.
Lion King, all these people who are like, oh, it's just the same movie, just with better animation. That's what I wanted. So I am glad that that's what it was.
It's so funny because then in other movies, like being the Disney guy, I can get on a soapbox for this for an hour, and I won't, I promise. But like you've got – so if you have a movie like Cinderella or like Lion King where it's very similar to the main story and they don't really differentiate, they do add in Beyonce needed some other scenes. So they add in some like scenes of Nala. Billy Eichner was just a treat. But you know – like you get those movies and people are like, oh, they didn't change the story at all. And then you get something where they do deviate from the story. I would actually argue that Aladdin, you know, they changed who the Sultan was going to be. They kind of added this female empowerment angle. They gave Jasmine a lot more to do. And then so you have people that are like, oh, but they strayed away from the original story. Like, there's literally, in this day and age, it is so hard to please anyone with anything.
Right.
And I get that people are saying it's a cash grab, but particularly for Aladdin, I will talk until I'm blue in the face that cultural appropriation is a true thing, and we needed to get some of these films where when in the 90s a bunch of white voice actors were playing these roles, let's actually get people that look like those characters to act and be in those movies. You know, Donny Osmond's not going to be in Mulan next year.
Have you seen, that's what I was just going to say. Have you seen the trailer for Mulan? Oh, my God.
But anyway, so thank you for letting me get on that soapbox for a minute. But yeah, no, I'm glad that you brought those two films up. Anything else that you
to piggyback off Aladdin? Tons of hate for Will Smith. Tons of hate. People just guess what, guys? Somebody else is going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to compare it to someone getting a promotion at work.
Uh-huh.
Somebody's going to get that promotion. It better be you, or don't bitch about it. Forgive my language, but you'll never replace actors. It's not the same movie. We get it, but I love the fact that we got to see brown people in the desert. That's where we're supposed to be.
Yeah,
that's where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, and in an interview right before Aladdin was released, I think it was on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Will Smith was on there, and he said, "I can't." He said, "I was terrified when they offered me the role. I can't replace Robin Williams. I can't do it." And then and then he said, "But you know what? Like, I could put my own spin on it and basically remove myself from what Robin did." Mm-hmm. And then he was like, "Then I came up with Friend Like Me is a rap song.
Yep.
Like it's a hip hop song." Yep. And then so he started doing it like on Jimmy Fallon, and I was like, "Okay, I bought into this. I'm gonna go in clear eyed and focused on this." And I'll tell you what, my son saw that film. It's one of the first that he saw in theaters. And Will Smith is going to be his genie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine.
Sure.
Robin Williams is my genie. And that's fine, too. Like, that's also part of why they're doing these, is to be able to show a whole new generation and be able to kind of make these films continue to live on from there. So, Bailey, any other movies you wanted to mention before we get to the biggie?
I've been really into docs this year. And Ford versus Ferrari is about to come out, or it's on its way out.
Yeah, I think it's been like limited release.
But there's a really good documentary about Carroll Shelby on Netflix right now.
Oh, cool!
It's really good. Then the other one is Steve McQueen. There's a really good Steve McQueen documentary on there as well.
That's great.
It's great to see people aren't perfect. People don't know everything that's going on, and they have a large cultural impact, and they're really just flying by the seat of their pants. So it just gives us a lot of it gives me a lot of inspiration. It's just like, if the guy that did that didn't know, and oh my God, okay, we're good. we're good.
For sure. And, you know, there's a bunch of recency bias with Skywalker. And I listened to your podcast. Actually, I was sitting in, like, we hadn't recorded ours yet. And you posted it, like, I don't know, like 6 hours after you saw it or something ridiculous. I was like, come on, what are you doing? You're making us all look
bad.
That's
called hard work.
And then,
it's called I had to work all day the next day. So it was like, it comes out now or not at all.
Yeah, and we had to do Sunday night. That's kind of when we like to record things. We want a moment to reflect upon the film before we – no, I'm just totally making that up. But I know you guys really enjoyed it as a mm-hmm. whole, and I really love that film as a whole. There's obvious critiques to this movie. You can go on for days and days and days. But the one person that we haven't heard their opinion on this film yet – sitting right here. Because again, I would strongly suggest you go back and listen to Geek Awakens, listen to our front row stuff on Rise of Skywalker, because I think we talked until we're blue in the face about it. But Jeremy, give me your opinion. I know Star Wars is close to your heart. I mean, it's literally on your left hand there.
It is. So this has been – Star Wars has become a family tradition that we go every Christmas. This year was a little more challenging than other years to get tickets. And had I not seen all of you posting on social media, I would not have known that the tickets were on sale. I had just enough money for the week and a little bit saved, and I bought the entire row because I was like, I'm not playing games. Like, this is our family. We're going to go see this movie, XYZ. I cried like a baby throughout the entire movie because they took from me and then they gave me back. They took from me and then they gave it back. I sat – well, our experience was just bunk for the first 15 minutes because the lights were on in the theater.
Weird.
For the first 5 minutes. So the people got up and like told the people the lights were on. And then as soon as they got back in the theater, it goes – and they just started it over again so those people could watch it.
Which is probably good because Kylo Ren goes to like 65 different planets in the first 2 seconds of that movie.
he was on a mission.
My theme for talking to people about this movie is that I loved every second of it, and it wasn't written for me.
Yeah.
And there are people that don't understand that. And then I just say, like, my heart jumped at Jedi. My heart jumped at Empire. It was just – and I got all that back. It was – I mean, they're in Endor. Like, yeah. What else do you want? I felt that they dealt with the passing of characters beautifully. I felt that they dealt with the passing of actors beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
There was one character that just ran and just at a halt. I thought there was a lot more life left in it. It was kind of I was disappointed because
yeah, we almost have to be careful because if we get too spoilery, just this movie just came out.
No. I'm trying to navigate it as well as I can.
I can see you. I see inside your brain right now.
Uh huh. But
it's
my
a dark
thing
and
is,
scary place.
No, it's it's another nod to mental health. There's something that goes on, and me watching it. Wow, it's just sort of a conversation. It really is. These people are going to dark places, and there's all the temptation in the world. And they just handled it beautifully. They really, really did. It was an emotional roller coaster that wasn't written for me, and I got every single thing I needed out of it. And there's so many ways that this – so many directions that the new story can take, and – I still don't have itis. Like it's, I don't have, I'm not exhausted by it.
Yeah. That's where I'm at. Bring it on.
Yeah. Thank you for, helping me navigate to where I wouldn't spoil. Cause I don't want to spoil, but I'm trying to talk in generalizations about it, but it was just, it's a beautiful film.
Yeah.
I don't think I can say anymore without getting in trouble.
No, I get it. I get it. And we spent an awful lot of time on movies, so we're going to try to do like a rapid fire TV round here. Because there was also we're living in a golden age of TV, and one show that I know is not going to get mentioned in the middle of the geek podcast is The Marvelous Miss Maisel. But to me,
beautiful.
It is like the best show on any streaming platform right now.
But where the French do you take it?
I don't know where they're going to take it from here, but they certainly that's the only bad part about like how streaming platforms drop things. And I know that Disney Plus is doing the weekly thing now, and people are a little upset about that. But like there is something to the fact that I watched all of Marvelous Miss Maisel in like 24 hours.
Did you really?
And now it's going to be like another year before I get anything.
Oh, you watched the new season of it?
I watched the new season.
Oh, forgive me, because I'm still
it goes places.
Okay.
It goes places.
All right. Because Zach Levi, he was on there. I was so excited.
Yeah. It was really well done this season. So, but we're going to go through and just talk about a couple of different highlights. And if you can just give me your quick reactions to a bunch of different properties. We started off the new year with a brand new Doctor. And I know, again, this is after your heart, Jeremy. You had a Doctor Who themed wedding, for God's sake. So talk to me about Jodie. And talk to me about her as the Doctor. Just a quick reaction to that.
Well, this might be embarrassing, but I haven't got a chance to visit it yet.
You haven't got a chance yet? Okay, well, sorry to put you so much on the spot.
No,
then.
No, it's fine.
I will say I skipped Capaldi entirely because I had gone through – I wasn't a huge Doctor Who fan, and I went through all of Tennant. I went through all of Smith, and then I – like right up to Capaldi, and then I was like, oh, I need a break from Doctor Who.
He has a beautiful speech about war, though.
Oh, yeah?
Just get that clip. Okay. Just get that clip.
And like the first
More
episode,
than just that clip.
But I'm saying,
but yeah, to introduce, I will go back and watch it for sure.
Like nugget.
And I should say I started with Eccleston. So I mean, I went through the whole like series up to that point, and then there was like a dinosaur in the middle of the river in London, and I was just like, you know, I'm out of this for like a little bit, and then I decided I would just kind of skip over him and come back to him. And I love Jodie Whittaker stuff. I really enjoyed it. To me, it was very much David Tennant as Doctor Who, but in like a really cool way.
That's awesome.
And the fact that this is kind of widely distributed, so it's not like I'm spoiling anything. But Tennant's going to come back for an episode with her. I think it's next year's Christmas episode. I don't think it's the episode dropping tomorrow.
Wait,
but
this is a thing.
Uh oh,
I didn't know
this was a thing.
This was like spoiler alert. This was like announced.
Oh no.
They were bringing him back. So.
Mitch is wearing a Doctor Who shirt for those that aren't watching.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, it's not like I'm going to go home and cry that I didn't know about this. I'm very excited about this, but no.
I need to maybe, hopefully I'm not like speaking out of turn. I need to look it up, but I think it was like The Guardian or something like legit that reported that that he's going to come back for a Christmas episode. I don't think it's the episode that's airing like this week,
right.
But I think it's next year's Christmas episode. So anyway, talk to me about the Doctor.
Oh man, like we haven't had like I'm very excited for Wednesday to come on because like I've missed Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor. I've missed, you know, her companions and everything. Like that her first season, I mean, yeah, was it perfect? No. But I mean, but it had some phenomenal episodes. Like the episode with Rosa Parks, like oh my gosh, like I could go back and watch that just about any day of the week. But yeah, but she's done just a phenomenal job. I can't wait. I'm excited to see like some more familiar faces. I realized with that first season they wanted to establish, you know, new ground or whatever, but I'm excited to see some more people
where
coming
she
back.
Goes from there.
Exactly. Like and I just and now I and I could be mistaken on this, but I thought that I heard a rumor where Martha Jones was going to come back.
Yeah, I'm.
And if that's the case, like Martha was like one of those companions. That's like if she didn't show up right after Rose, I would have been all for her. And I really enjoyed her, but it was like I'm still dealing with Rose. But yeah, bring it on, please.
Absolutely.
I had a problem with Rose because I saw Confessions of a Call Girl before that, and then I couldn't watch it. And I didn't even watch it on purpose. Like I just saw like a clip of it, and I'm like, that chick's the lady of the evening, and now she's on Doctor Who. I don't want those worlds to cross. No, thank you.
Well, from a brand new Doctor to a series, we have all loved at different times, but likely coming to a close. Game of Thrones ended this year on a rather, in my mind, shaky note. You know, I will say, and again, this is spoilers for people that hadn't seen it, but the ending of Game of Thrones to me, I'm going back and listening to the audiobooks. I don't read with my eyes because I read at like a second grade level, but I love Audible and I love audiobooks. Going back, it makes so much sense who ends up on the throne in the books so far, and I'm only in like the fourth book, and I obviously Martin hasn't brought out the last two, but yeah, it makes much more sense watching it as a fan. But overall, kind of a wonderful season of TV, a wonderful series, I should say. The season kind of irritated me. But, you know, it's hard to stick landings on some of these things, especially when you don't have the source material to fall back on. Any thoughts on Game of Thrones?
I have never seen a single episode, and I feel great about it.
All right, there you go.
I also have never seen a single episode.
Are you serious?
Now, see, for me, like, it's one of those shows, like, I want to watch it eventually, just I've got way too many other things to watch.
No, but I saw Silicon Valley, and it was amazing.
You know, I'm looking on Google right now, by the way, and maybe I'm just making up that he's going to be... I don't know.
You can catch him in Good Omens.
I thought I read it somewhere. Maybe
that
it was like
yeah.
The Onion or something.
Good Omens was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I know where we're going. I don't want to jump. Sorry.
Wonderful, wonderful Neil Gaiman adaptation. So then we'll talk about the arrival of things like Disney Plus, and I just finished The Mandalorian. Have you been following along with The Mandalorian?
I'm two episodes behind.
Okay. And to me, the two episodes that you have left, best of the season, for sure, that ended on a strong note. Because for a while there, it was starting to drag a little bit for me, but man, they really brought it home in these last couple of episodes, and I can't wait to see where it goes. You know, someone posted a meme of Jon Favreau, and it's like, makes a Christmas movie, becomes an instant classic. Makes a Marvel movie, becomes an instant classic. Makes a Star Wars TV show, becomes an instant classic. I mean, Baby Yoda is everywhere. It's taken over our society.
I had to order it from Etsy for my wife because she sent me. She never asked for anything. I think it's how we started this thing. She never asked me for anything. And she said, "I know that you enjoy getting me pops. I absolutely hate them. But there's a plush that's coming out of Baby Yoda." I said, "Honey, that's not going to be filmed until like May."
Yeah.
So I got on Etsy as soon as I could, and there's a person in Texas.
A crochet one?
3D printed Baby Yoda this big. It's absolutely perfect. I'm not going to tell you what it costs. Not going to tell you what shipping costs, but we got it on time. Yeah.
That's great.
And it's got a little force hand on it. It's just...
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I am jealous that you haven't experienced the last two episodes yet. Because make it in a way where you can watch them back to back. That's all I'll say. Because that week in between was like, you know, as TV shows do. Anything on the
Mandalorian? It's not really that big a deal. I mean, Hayden Christian comes in, and then Jar Jar hops out of the...
Jar Jar Binks is there. Actually, you've seen the episode then, where they refer to Jar Jar to the Gungans, and it's so funny.
They're supposed to draw lightsabers, and they just drop them and hug, and then curtains. Like, that's how it ends.
That's touching.
Forever.
But that is one of the things I love about The Mandalorian, is that the fact that, like, they are making
Life
these
Day.
Callbacks. Life Day, yes. First episode, they reference Life Day, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. But
then Brian Posehn's in there. He's like, I'll drive you home!
What? Yeah, yeah. Just so great. Through and through. We'll move on to some things that actually Mitch wanted to bring up. I'm going to call it DC Unlimited again. What is it?
DC Universe.
Universe, which is their own streaming service that some of it is going to potentially go into HBO Max, so we don't know necessarily the future of it.
Don't take my Flash. Don't take my Supergirl.
Well, those
don't
are
take
all,
Batgirl. Don't take none of that.
Well, CW, I think, is still going to have the Arrowverse and the Berlantiverse, but
okay.
Those shows, like, I know that they already canceled Swamp Thing, right? But
right.
They had a season
they
of Swamp
put
Thing.
So much money in the Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And they're like, hey, nobody's gonna get it. And they're like, no, it's gonna be fine. They're like, nobody's gonna get it. They built a studio and a soundstage for that thing.
Yeah. But I know I haven't seen, I've only seen a couple episodes of Titans. It's just not my thing, because again, I like my superheroes to be cheery and joyous.
That's Batman.
And that's not,
right?
It's not that. It is better than the trailer made it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
because
that moment I was like, oh, this show is not, it's gonna be garbage. But my friend Brian from After the Hype absolutely loves Titans, so I'll let you talk about it a bit and talk about some of the other shows that you've seen on there.
Yeah, so with Titans, you're right, it's not bright and cheery. The second season I do think gets a little less dark and gloomy. I mean, I'm wearing a Nightwing hat. Clearly, Nightwing is my boy. And to see Dick Grayson as Nightwing at the end of the second season was just like, it just made my day. There were a couple of things with the second season where it's like, they telegraphed it. Like, there was a death at the end of the second season where it's like, early on in the season, I'm like, oh yeah, cool, one of you two are going to die. And I know it's not going to be you, so it's going to be you.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that show. Another one that I'm like, I'm surprised that I'm keeping up with is Harley Quinn. It's an animated series. It's got Penny from Big Bang Theory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she voices Harley Quinn. And I'm surprised at how funny this show is.
Mm-hmm.
They also have Kite Man as a recurring character. And he's a Batman, like, D-list villain.
Yeah.
But
he was in an episode of Gotham, I remember.
Really?
Or was it... Was it Kite Man or like Balloon Man? I don't know. It was like an early
episode. I just want to show you real quick. There's an ad for Channing Tatum as Gambit.
Oh,
I'm not going to get an act. That's a callback.
Yeah, absolutely.
I couldn't believe it's in there.
And with the whole, with DC Universe, because the rumors that I've heard is that they are going to sooner or later shut down DC Universe and put all the shows that they are planning on keeping, like those two, I'm pretty sure Doom Patrol, and putting those, lumping them in with HBO Max.
Did you get your $20 back?
Man.
You paid for like 3 years.
I mean, I don't know. I'm hoping, but, and the thing with, in the comics. But
oh, it says in the comics. I got sorry. Back
okay.
to the Doctor Who thing.
But
gross. Sorry. Anyway,
I want to read.
Anyway,
but,
I don't want to read with my eyes.
But speaking of comics, like with DC Universe, like that is going to be one thing that I really am going to be upset if they do away with that, because it's like, oh hey, here's like all of DC's library for your viewing pleasure, and it's like, oh, that's going to go bye bye.
How is Doom Patrol?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Brian from After the Hype, he absolutely loved that show, and he said it's the reason to get DC Universe. So
yeah.
You might have a good show to watch coming your way.
It's on my list.
A couple of others that we wanted to hit on. Of course, we had what people are saying the show of the year, and in a much badder, bigger way than even Game of Thrones, is Watchmen. I have only seen the first two episodes of it, but it's a really interesting take, because Watchmen, when it came out as a graphic novel was such a commentary on the Red Scare and on communism and on the Cold War and like this fear always around us. And so what did they do? What did Damon Lindelof do? Is he placed that type of a story within that universe and made it about racism, made it about white supremacy, so things that are culturally relevant to today. And a lot of to a person that I've heard watch that show, they said it's one of the most incredible things they've seen all year. But again, I just haven't had the opportunity to really dive into it. And again, it's one of those things where I kind of have to pick my darker properties on when I want to watch them. You know, I don't want to just be gloomy all the time, and so it does seem like a lot of this content does come out, and it's a bit on the gloomy side. So have either of you seen Watchmen yet?
I had an 8% interest in it, and then I heard it was on Barack Obama's list of stuff to watch, so I'm going to watch it soon.
Okay, good.
I believe in it.
I mean, truly, so, people are – and again, I've seen the first two episodes. Yeah. Very solid. I think it's an 8 or 10 episode season, so I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes from
here. I always wait until it comes around free. It's like free HBO. It's like here's a free like 3-month trial, whatever, but I'll watch it all.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to see it?
I have not. It was really weird. When they first announced it, I was really excited about it. And then, like, every piece of information they gave us, I'm like, is this really going to be good? And, like,
is this Watchmen?
Yeah. And so, like, my interest kind of tanked. And then everybody, you know, everybody and their mom has said how much they love Watchmen. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to, you know, and I had always planned on at least watching the first couple episodes, you know, just to make sure. But yeah, now hearing all these people saying such great things about it, it's like, okay, you're on my list, but I'll get to you eventually.
I know. There's so much content, so much TV, so much everything. I mean, I'm watching The Imagineering Story on Disney Plus, which is a show that seemingly is only made for me. Like it's like we're going to do a 6-part deep dive into who and how they created the Disney theme parks. Like, that is Brett Rutherford, Vanessa Ferguson, and me. We're the only three watching that maybe in the world, but they made it for us.
I really enjoy the stuff that YouTube has a lot of really good content, because I don't have time to watch the whole 30-minute thing, but I've done a lot of stuff in there, 5 or 6 minute things of this is why the park didn't work, or this is why this didn't work. So,
yeah,
I'm with you, man.
Yeah, and you know, granddaughter of Bob Iwerks that made that, so it's a really cool connection too. So, let's talk. Let's then jump over to Stranger Things, because it was a show I initially didn't have on my list, and I can't believe I didn't. But we had another installment of Stranger Things. Much better received than the last season, and it is one of those that with Stranger Things, it's funny, and Jeremy yells at me for this. I have never actually finished a full season of Stranger Things. I always start it, and then I trail off about the 3rd or 4th episode. I love the premise. I love the idea of it, but it is something where it's just, again, lots of content out there. You got a kid. I mean, it's just like there's a lot of different excuses I can give you, but I did not see the full season 3. I saw maybe about 3 or 4 episodes of it, and I definitely need to go back and finish it. So I'll let you take this over.
Okay. And I wish I had thought about it more, because Stranger Things, that's one of those shows that's like I've kind of forgotten a lot of the things that happened this season already. But I do remember just really enjoying it and thinking how it kind of was like a different – you got to see different aspects of these kids' lives and, you know, and their families and everything like that. You got to see a lot of growth with 11. But it's just – it's one of those shows like I'm loving it. I can't wait for more. But it is kind of like one of those things like how much gas does this franchise have left? And I think I remember reading a while back that they do have like an ending plan. So if that's the case, then awesome. But
– and, you know, shows that do that it's so much better for it. Like Breaking Bad, famously, Vince Gilligan could have, and again, he spun off that show and into Better Call Saul, and he made El Camino this year, which we won't talk about in movies, but such an awesome like piece of fan service for those of us that love that show. It's cool that they have like an actual game plan, and like this is where the ending's going to go. We're not going to go beyond this as far as the seasons are concerned. And these fans or these young actors and David Harbour and Winona Ryder, I mean, they're all blowing up. You know, they're going to get more and more options and more contracts thrown their way. So they probably do need to wrap it up at some point very soon.
Right. I enjoyed it. I thought
This one, like, really hit close to home when they start singing the NeverEnding Story. I couldn't. Like, I sung every word. My wife's like, you are a nerd. You are the nerdiest dude I've ever met in my life, just because that one thing was for me. I think they played really strong to their strengths in this season. I think that there was some criticism about, oh, well, this would never happen because these people would never be able to do this. And I'm like, wait a minute.
You like, understand.
Do you know what you signed up for? Like, these are kids. This stuff's not real. Like, this is popcorn. This stuff's supposed to go from A to B. There's things that always happen. I mean, it's in the beginning it was a story, and now it is a marketing machine.
Yeah.
So I'm not excited about the next day seeing these costumes at Hot Topic. I wish that it would be a little more reserved, to the point of you see fan costumes made. I love cosplay. I cosplayed at my wedding. I cosplayed the day before my wedding. Like, this is, I love homemade stuff. But I don't want to see the Ben and Jerry's outfit or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they had already pre-planned it and sold it to Hot Topic and all that stuff. Like, that's not cool. Like,
it takes away a bit of the almost independent feel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of that first season.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, for sure.
They're selling VHSs with just a shirt in it. I'm like, that's not, come on. It does. It takes away. But then that last, when it comes to the climax and they're singing Never, I'm like, okay, you got me. Like, no. You got me.
Yeah.
But no, I really enjoyed it. All those actors, they have really bright futures. Again, it did reinvent some of the other actors. And what's bonkers is that there's a generation that's in high school right now, and that's what they got into. Like, that's their, and I hate to say, like, I was a generation behind for Breakfast Club, but I will love that movie until the day that I die. And it wasn't even my thing. Like, it was before me, but it still resonated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's bonkers to see all these kids that are just super inspired by this 80s design and pop culture stuff. And it's pushing, like, you know, I didn't want to say how many decades it's going, but it's
a lot of decades. We are getting we're getting Stranger Things the movie next year with Ghostbusters, right? So right. I mean, that trailer was like, woof. I'll watch it like crazy.
No, I'm saying I won't watch the trailer.
Okay.
I'm over watching trailers. Like, I didn't even see a trailer for Rise of Skywalker.
Okay.
Everybody's like this, that, and the other, and I'm just like,
I need to see it the second it
well, then, I mean, and especially, like, there's a screenshot and it blows up the next day, and it's like, I'm on internets like once or twice
a month. Well, spoiler, it's Stranger Things in the movie. it's what it is. And we'll see where it goes from there.
They had the weakest 30th anniversary for the Wizard World property, like, had that party. Did you see the people that were there?
No.
Okay, so there were more people, like, because we go to the cons and we all great and we're super pumped. They're going to show you a pilot of something. There's more people. I swear to God, there's more people at the pilot for Supergirl than there were at the 30th anniversary for Ghostbusters. And they got Reitman's son up there, and Ackroyd still selling it, you know, 80 years later. He's like, that's got to be great, kids. Like, I mean,
yeah.
Like, well, weren't the tickets for that, like, ridiculous, too, if I'm not mistaken?
But they gave away, you know, tickets to vloggers and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So that was, you just had to get there.
Well, true.
That was the thing. But I was really underwhelmed by what was put together. And it blows because Wizard World put me on the map.
Yeah.
Like, Wizard World property put me, like, I will be loyal to them forever. We're taking a little guy to Wizard World forever. And I don't, you know, but it was underwhelming. It was. I mean, that's a piece of our history, right?
Yeah, for sure. But we'll be talking about Ghostbusters next year on this podcast. So I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. You have the Orville listed as well. God, I love that show. To me, it's the most Star Trek property, non-Star Trek out there. Yep. It's more Star Trek than Star Trek. Seth MacFarlane obviously loves Trek and loves the lore of that. And, like, what they're doing with some of the characters. It's another one that came out so early in the year that it's like, I need to go back and revisit it before the next season. But just, like, some of the social commentary that they're bringing and weaving into along with just, like, still having the customary dick and fart joke along the way. Like, it's really well done.
You would feel that there was a laugh track, but there's no laugh track.
Yeah.
Like, that's Yeah.
Just you in the room. But you had it on the list, so.
Yeah. So, like, I think for me with the Orville, it's one of the great things about that show. It's like, it's not, when you say, oh, hey, it's Seth MacFarlane doing Star Trek, it's not nearly as jokey as you think that it would be. You know, it does have its very serious moments. And you're right. Like, and this is coming from somebody, too, who, like, I've enjoyed Discovery. I'm behind on the second season, but I've enjoyed that show. But the Orville is just like, oh, man, like, this needs to be in the actual Star Trek universe. Yeah.
Homeboy made his own everything. Like, he went from, I'm going to rule the world of animation, starting to borrow from the Fox, animation domination, but you see me in one lane, and I'm just flipping over here, and mm-hmm. I've been trying to hang out here my whole life. Have you guys seen the YouTube video where it's like him and the student film that he made with his money?
Yep.
It's like he's been doing this since he was a baby, and it blows my mind that he had that type of patience, and he's like, we're going to do it. One day we're going to do it, and it just explodes onto this thing, and it hits you in the heart. It does, and I have a Star Trek tattoo, Kobayashi Maru. I don't believe in no-win scenarios. So it's in my DNA. And mm-hmm. to see him carrying the torch is so inspiring. Yeah. It's just you go back and you'll watch Star Trek to see where it came from. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful because a lot of the people that we love are so far in age that there's really – we don't have very much time left with them. That or they're just super eccentric, and you don't even want to talk to them. So
I am excited for Picard for sure because I'm a next generation guy.
He's the 1%, man.
You talked about different entry points. Next generation was totally my entry point. Scott and I watched that together, and Scott's way more into Deep Space Nine. Like that's his
his track. Absolutely,
he loves Deep Space Nine to death. I at that point I had kind of like morphed more into Star Wars and a couple of other things. I was watching The Rocketeer on repeat. I mean, absolutely. Let's be real. But, like, Next Generation for me, that's where it's at. So if CBS All Access is going to get me back, and they usually do get me back in the summer because I like garbage TV and will watch Big Brother until I'm blue in the face. But
I'm excited for Picard as well.
Yeah, Picard does look
our
cool.
House is – it's 50-50. It's TOS and TNG because we didn't have growing up, I was more exposed to TNG because it was on cable, or it was on Fox, where you didn't have to have cable. But once I got my hands on TOS, I'm like, oh my God, this is so great. They had nothing.
Yeah.
They had absolutely nothing to make these shows, and all they had was this. And, you know, Michelle Nichols being the first, you know, female person to put females in NASA, and it's just like, bah! You know, it's super inspiring. It's so awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other properties, TV shows you want to bring up? I mentioned The Boys earlier. It is a gloomy show, but it captivated me. I really enjoyed it. It's on Amazon Prime. Have you two been able to see that yet?
No, not yet.
Go check it out.
Oh, forgive me. Is that the superhero one?
Yes.
Yeah, it's foul. I won't watch it.
Oh, yeah.
It's foul.
It is very crass, for sure.
I saw somebody ran through somebody's girlfriend, and I was like, I can't watch this.
Yeah, that's in the pilot. That's there, in the first episode.
I walked away. Because, see, at the end of the day, the only time that my wife and I have as our time is TV time.
Yep.
And she is super inspired by some darker things. And I have to say that my day might not have been the best, so I want to I don't want to think. I want to watch. Mm-hmm. My jam is Supergirl, Flash. Like, I love to end my day with things like that. But I can't sit down and watch the iZombie or, you know, I mean, even Buffy. Like, the special effects, I know it's not real, but that stuff gets dark.
Yeah. And so. I'm totally right there with you. You know, people, obviously I'm a Disney fanboy through and through, but also like, those are some of the only shows I can watch with my son in the room. Yeah. You know, like, so I can't – like, the rest of it, it's just so over the top, either graphic or, like, just dropping this language that's, like, just crazy. Like, you don't want your kid in the room or anywhere around that. So it's hard to watch some of these things and go back and be able to pick some of these things up. So it's cool that there's a whole streaming platform now that's going to have a bunch of original content that is family friendly, because like that's where I'm at right now in my life, and that's kind of what I need. So go check out The Boys, though. I think you'll end up really enjoying it. We kind of skipped over the Arrowverse. Anything you wanted to mention there? I know Supergirl, was it last season that they basically made like Donald Trump the enemy, but I think it's like, so I haven't caught up entirely because CW only puts it on their CW app, and it bugs me that they do that.
We're always
like
here behind.
Like, yeah, because it goes on Netflix.
Yep,
yeah.
It doesn't bother me. It's still what does he call it? Kevin Smith. It's a soap opera, but it's with superheroes.
Yes, yeah, and that's absolutely
fine. I'm okay with it. It's your stories. At the end of the day, they're gonna figure it out, and then I'm gonna go to bed, and it's gonna be fine.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, I'm gonna sit down and have dinner. We're gonna be fine.
I am really looking forward to the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
I missed
the first couple of episodes, and then one of my friends said, "Oh, I can't wait till January when it comes back." And I'm like, "Wait, they took a month long break in between?" And he's like, "Yeah."
Well, they do like 12-hour days up there in Vancouver. Like, they don't mess around.
But my thing is, like, I'm just going to wait now until like the whole thing is done and be able to just watch it all together. Because to see Kevin Conroy as Bruce Wayne already makes
we
my
all
life.
Owe him a debt, and he does not know who we are.
Yeah.
Like, we are just a 5-second clip for him, and he is a beautiful person.
Just those interactions that you get, like, not to go on a huge tangent about this, but those interactions that you get with certain celebrities, at these cons and things like that, and we've all had those experiences. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, Greg Grunberg, I knew that his daughter was epileptic and that he has this foundation, but in interviewing him, I mentioned something about the foundation, and I was like, you know, I'm epileptic as well. And he's like, "You are?" And, like, we just talked. He spent way too much time with me, first of all. Like, the handler, I'm sure, was really mad. And then at the end of it, he's just like, "You just get a big hug." So we just gave each other a big hug.
Yep.
And it's like those moments that truly mean nothing to them, but I'll remember that for the rest of my life. So it's – and Kevin Conroy right up there with the best of them because he is there every time giving those great interactions with people. And he probably doesn't even understand the impact that he has. So
I think he does. I got to talk to him about a couple different things, and – he said it's his responsibility.
Yeah.
And that just, oh my God, it just makes me weep as a person just knowing that we get to hide inside his art. And it's again, I want to invest my time and energy in people that aren't trash. And it's just to learn that some of these people, like, again, we will all hold on to those interactions to the day that we die. And we get to share these with other people. Mm-hmm. And that's what's nuts. Like,
yeah, for sure. You know, I knew we'd be going long because we all like to talk. But Mitch, I asked you to kind of give us a synopsis of some of the comics that came out this year. I will say that I purchased Marvel Unlimited. It was like $60 for the year, and it's some great money to be spent because you get everything that's 6 months backdated and then beyond in their catalog. And it's such a great way to catch up on comics. I just read them on my iPad. It's a great way to do that. But that means that I'm not current at all with where I'm at as far as comics are concerned. So can you give me like the quick highlights, couple minute highlights of these are if you're going to pick up some books, you're going to walk into Killens or a brick and mortar store, and you're going to pick some things up, this is what you should be looking for out of 2019.
Yeah, and just real quick, as someone who buys the physical comics, I'm still really far behind too. Like, I've got stacks all over my room. I'm like, okay, I'm going to read you first, and then you guys at some other point in time. It's kind of scary.
Well, when I can't get like out 20 issues of different things. Yeah.
Right.
I can't, so I just can't go. Like, I'll send Facebook.
That's where I was at, too.
I'll send Facebook messages. Like, I love what you're doing, but that kid needs education. I'm sorry.
Yeah. For a while there, I would go and I'd purchase like 2 or 3 books a week.
Yeah.
And like,
paperback. Big ones.
You know, and that, like, that's not. That's a little stack. I mean, the people are walking out of there with like $200 stacks every single week. It's just crazy.
So, yeah, shout out to Jim at Comic Service. You're a beautiful person. Right. Shout out to the dude that owns – or the person that owns Reader's World. And I think that we've all been personally affected by Damien at Killens. We love you and we owe you everything.
Yeah.
So.
But like just to touch just on a couple things that I've really enjoyed this year. So like, yeah, so with Marvel – the whole rebuilding or whatever of X-Men with House of X and Powers of X. Like, I don't still know what Jonathan Hickman is doing with X-Men, but I'm loving every second of it.
Nice.
He
had such a great Avengers run, you know? Like, so obviously, like, get him over to that other property, too. That's great.
Yeah, like, I can't wait to see exactly how everything is unfolding. Also with Marvel, like, Chip Zdarsky did this miniseries with Spider-Man. It was called Life Story, where it started with Spider-Man's origin back in the 60s, and it's like, what happens if Spider-Man, you know, like, aged the way that he should, you know? And so it's like, with Chip Zdarsky, I mean, it's one of those things, like, I expected, like, to laugh a lot more than I did, but I was like, oh man, am I going to cry? I'm going to cry. Cool.
That's my currently reading comic. I'm pulling it up on my iPad.
Oh, it's so good. And I didn't realize exactly what it was until I got to issue 2, and I'm like, oh, okay then.
Yeah, yeah. So it starts in the 60s. I think it's like 62 or so. And then it goes all the way through the 90s? Is that right? Or the 80s?
No, even further than that. I want to say it goes to at least the 2000s, maybe even the 2010s.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, maybe it's because I'm on Marvel Unlimited and it's 6 months behind.
Is that right in your mind that we're like 10 minutes away from 2020?
Yeah, it's nuts.
You just said the 10s. Like, it was like, but that wasn't that far ago. Yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The 90s were about to be 30 years ago.
Oh, God. Yeah. Ouch. Ouch.
anyway.
As far as DC, Tom King just finished up his run on Batman. And one thing that he did that is going to stick out with me, and I loved his run, he kills Alfred. Alfred is gone. Yeah. And like when it happened,
no one dies in comics.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's be honest. But yeah, that was one of those things. Like when it happened, I was like, okay, well, he's going to come back to life by the end of the, you know, by the end of the run. And Tom King's done, and Alfred is still done. It's like, oh, okay, cool. One thing that I've been loving, and it's weird because I'm not usually like a huge Superman fan, but there's a Jimmy Olsen miniseries.
Oh, cool.
That and it's written by Matt Fraction, who his run on Hawkeye is really what got me back into comics. Like, full both feet in, you know, whatever. And so, yeah, to see that, it's been a lot of fun.
Zack Snyder probably hates that miniseries.
He
does not. Not a big fan of Jimmy Olsen, apparently.
sorry. He's a weirdo, and he don't need to work no more.
I had to get one BDS dig in there. It's customary every year.
He's a weirdo.
Oh, of course.
Don't need to work no more. But Rami Malek got your Oscar. Boom!
There is, and it's from, I think it's Boom Studios. There's a series right now. It's called Once in the Future. It's about this guy and his grandmother who are on a quest to basically, like, there's like this cult or whatever that's bringing King Arthur back from the dead. Wow. And they're trying to stop it. And it's so much fun. The last one that I'm going to just touch on, it's actually one that we've been lucky enough to review on the podcast, and it's called 7 Days. It's from Lion Forge, and it's their universe with all their superheroes, and it's kind of like a big event, you know, encompassing all of them. And it's been so much fun, and it's one of those titles where it's like, it helps if you know these characters, but you don't have to know these characters. And it's written by Gail Simone, and she's like, she can do whatever she wants.
That's
it's
great.
Been so fun.
So I like, because obviously I have Marvel Unlimited. I love these heroes, but one of the things I'm looking forward to is, I always said, in March when this is over, I'm going to probably hop over to the DC version of that. But I'm also like toying with the idea of just getting the Comixology Unlimited, because I love Image, and I love like those kind of more independent type brands. Now, granted, Image is still a huge like company, but is there one, like,
Mirage
would it be
my favorite.
Would that be your independent comic of the year to like point to people to? Like, if I want to just go and like be like, you know what, I'm gonna go splurge, I'm gonna go buy like a 10 issue run of this comic from this year, what would that be?
Yeah, you know, I'd have to say it's probably a toss-up between 7 Days and Once in the Future. I knew that I was going to enjoy 7 Days when we first were, like, you know, being teased with it or whatever. But, man, Once in the Future, like, it's one of those series that's, like, I heard about some of the hype, and I was like, okay, I'm going to have to check it out. And then I checked it out, and I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thanks so much for that. And love getting a wrap-up on comics as well. But we are going to spend our last segment here talking about the thing we love to do and helping get the word out there for some people that probably don't need it and others that maybe do. But we're going to talk – we're going to go a couple of round robins just talking about different podcasts we have either really fell in love with in 2019 or discovered in 2019. I can start it off. I am 230 episodes into Hello from the Magic Tavern, and that show's been going on since 2015, and it's just so great because it's true world building between these improvers, and they're out of Chicago, so they use the Chicago Podcast Co-op to help getting them the funding and kind of go from there, and they've just completely blown up. I mean, now they're getting, like, of course, A-list stars on their show, but it's just a half an hour to 45 minutes of them just riffing and making these, like, characters on this podcast in an interview style that then become canon to their mythical world. So they have to try to remember in their brains, like, what they talked about 20 episodes ago, because they're going to be referencing that, you know. And so it's just a really cool story and, like, an evolving story. I'm on the second season of that, so I'm only in, like, I don't know, the 2017 year or something like that, and they're still going strong. So a lot of content out there, but really enjoy Hello from the Magic Tavern. So, Bailey, what podcast you'd recommend?
I love Dave and Tennant's podcast, Short Run.
Yes.
This is going to be, like, garbage advice, because I used to, like, really focus on the local people, but I know you guys are fine. You guys have freaking got it. So, that, I know you're so busy. I don't want to be like, hey, what about this? Here's an idea. What about that? You guys, you got it. But so mine are all, like, on the larger scale.
And that's okay, because I think that, like, you know, podcasting, it's cool that people like us are able to do this, but it's also cool that we do have something like Smodcast, and we have, you know, I mean, like, there's, like, ridiculous star David Tennant doing a podcast, you know, but he has access to people. He can sit down with John Hamm for, like, a great hour-long conversation,
and
man, that was such a cool episode. And Jennifer Garner's episode with him, like,
oh, yeah,
just all these, like, A-list celebrities that he is friends with and so has those access to. And I think that they feel more comfortable talking to David Tennant than they would to a reporter, and so you do, in my mind, get a much better story out of that. So I totally am fine with you going big. I'm going big on most of my podcast, I think, as we go around this round robin. So, Hello from the Magic Tavern definitely doesn't need our help. That's all I gotta say.
So, one of the podcasters that inspired me to do things outside of Kevin Smith was a man, Tom Merritt, and I used to listen to him on a show called Buzz Out Loud from CNET, and it was bonkers to know how far I've been following said person, and he has an independent thing called Daily Tech News Show. And it's really weird that I followed his whole, like, climb. And homeboy's from, like, Greenville.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So he's made his entire just journey. He worked in Champaign, like, as a second hand at, like, their news station, their Sinclair affiliate.
That's
cool. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
But Michael Rosenbaum's podcast, like I mentioned before, Inside of You, because he's completely unapologetic that he is a mess and he wants advice from other people on how they live their life. And it's just beautiful. And then I find myself listening to NPR every single day.
Yep.
Yeah. It's up first, and it's just so quick, and it's in, and it's done.
That's the daily for me, the New York Times podcast. In there, Michael Barbaro starts my day, and then I feel like I can go. But Mitch, talk about a podcast you'd like to recommend out there.
Well, you stole my answer with the David Tennant podcast.
I'm sorry.
It's quite all right. But it is such a great podcast because I like to envision that I'm sitting in the room with them sipping tea while they just have a conversation.
In a weekend, when I was driving, I was like, oh my God, this is for me. How many people are out there right? Like, you picked it up and you're like, it's me. I get to be in there. It's just beautiful.
And what's awesome about it is there's, like, millions of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's
like, it helps you. I made that joke earlier with the Imagineering story. It was made for three people, right? But there are thousands and millions of people that will watch that and enjoy that. And it's cool that that's where we are with our content, that it does seem so a la carte and custom made because we have these opportunities to just, like, listen to what we want to. So anything else that you wanted to mention?
I do want to give a shout out to a friend of mine from high school. She and a friend of hers just recently started, maybe back in March or April or something, but it's called Gray Muzzle Geekery, and they both, like, they talk about their experiences kind of like as aging geeks, you know. They both met as like they were LARPers,
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So they talk about LARPing a lot. The really cool thing with both of these people, they both auditioned to be on America's Next Top Podcast. They both made it to the Final Four.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, so like it's just a lot of fun just kind of hearing them talk about their lives and everything.
That's great. Very cool. Another one I'll mention, I finally, to Brandon's chagrin, I finally deep dove into Karina Longworth's You Must Remember This. And if you really want to learn about old Hollywood, she does such a great job. She's married to Rian Johnson, so it's kind of like a power couple in my mind because I love Knives Out this year. So I had a very Karina Longworth, Rian Johnson heavy year with what I loved in my content. And she does certain seasons. I actually jumped on because she was doing Song of the South, which is, of course, Disney's most controversial film they ever released. And she kind of digs into the history of what the Disney company has done to kind of hide that while also having a theme park attraction totally based around that property. So there's it's a really interesting look at things. But from there, I was able to go back and do she did a debunking of the book Hollywood Babylon. She's done a bunch of episodes on the Manson family, which was a good primer to looking at Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, because I kind of knew that story going into it. Just a really cool podcast to listen to. So go back and listen to You Must Remember This if you're editor interested at all about film history. Highly recommend that. There's a bunch of others that I can recommend. Anybody else have anything they want
to say? Here's a little nugget. Steve McQueen was invited to that party where all those people got killed.
Well, yeah, she mentions in that that there's so many people that say they were invited. It's kind of crazy.
That's what I'm saying about that. Watch that doc.
Any other podcasts you want to mention?
There are plenty of others where it's like, much like with my TV listening or watching this year, it's like, you're on my list, but I haven't gotten to you yet.
No, I get that. I get that for sure. I'll throw out a couple of just names because I want to. First of all, Local Connection to Courtney Inlow. She has a couple of different podcasts with the Sci-Fi Fangirls. She does Strong Female Characters, which is a great podcast. And then she also does Trends Like These, which I love because it's a weekly podcast. It comes out on Friday. And her and a couple of co-hosts just basically run down all the pop culture news. And also political news. It's within an hour. It's really good. I find myself like kind of yelling in disagreement with her sometimes, and I appreciate that.
She did her job.
Because she's great at what she does, and she's based out of Springfield here, so it's a really cool connection that we have. So go listen to Trends Like These. If you're a Disney fan, I get all my Disney news from Diz Unplugged and love all of that. And then I could go on and on and on. Political stuff, it's cool that we have Pod Save America now.
Peter McKinnon.
And yeah, absolutely.
Oh boy, yeah, podcasts. That's what I've been in. And when I'm ever in a film.
Yeah, just so many cool opportunities. And I'll throw it out there. If anybody is thinking about starting a podcast, you know, we had the benefit.
The equipment.
Well, I'll take your equipment if that's the case. We have.
I'll give you an iPod Touch from 4 years ago. That's where you're going to start.
That's right.
Because it works.
We had the benefit of having Jeremy helping guide
us. Such a sweet man.
And helping us get organized.
You're a sweet man.
Because God knows that that Jeremy and I couldn't have done it on our own. And like you said, we had our 500th episode at Anvil and Forge, and it's so cool to see where the network's gone. And you can start that too. This is something you can do. If you would like to get involved, message any of us and just start a podcast. Start talking in a microphone. There will be people out there that will listen. Maybe it's two people. It doesn't matter because you're expressing something that obviously is important to you and that you're able to do. So I highly suggest that you get involved and start getting into this medium because it's very cool. My inspiration was Kevin Smith. I mean, you know, like he has so many different podcasts, definitely doesn't need our help, but I love Hollywood Babylon and Smodcast and Fat Man Beyond, just what he's doing with his shows. It's just so much fun to listen to, and he's such a great storyteller. But if you want to start a podcast, start a podcast. That was his advice to us, and I'll pass that on to anybody listening. And if you want to, please feel free to message. And we'd even love to have you. If you want to give it a go, shoot. We've got 500 episodes, so if you want, you message us, and we maybe can find the right movie and get you on as a guest or something like that, so we can talk films with you. So
the hardest part is just start.
Absolutely.
Even if you're afraid of oversaturation, there's nobody that's going to put your spin on it.
Yeah.
It's you.
So
that's what makes it work.
To wrap this all up, I'll ask you all if you have any of your final thoughts, anything that you want to get out there for 2019 coming to a close, 2020 opening up.
Man, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm ready to see what 2020 is going to have to offer. I thought I was going to make a dumb, you know, like 2020 vision joke, but I clearly that moment has passed. but yeah, like I'm excited. So pumped for Star Trek Picard.
Just yeah. Bailey?
Invest in the people around you. And a 40-year-old reference. Hold on loosely, but don't let go.
Nice. Nice. I like it. I am so grateful to the two of you sitting around the table. Thank you so much, because it's cool to see what this little community has grown into.
Yeah.
And we'd love to even expand it further and further.
Yeah.
And you're part of the club if you want to be.
Absolutely.
Is an open invitation to everybody out there. So
except I would much rather,
except for Steve,
armchair quarterback, and say, Steve, you could just put this in there and it'd be great. And then I can just, you know, hang out with a little guy. It's for me. It's so gratifying to be able to see it, and I will never compare myself to people that have built large empires, but I kind of understand why Walt sat in his apartment and just watched people enjoy.
Yeah.
It's gratifying.
Absolutely. If you ever want to have a reoccurring guest, I don't know if you've done that on your show, but we'll come back and we'll revisit 5 years later or whatever.
That'd
since
be
our
rad.
First interview.
That'd be really
so,
cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun for sure. So plug your shows one more time. Plug your things one more time. Go listen to Lincoln's Legends. It's out there.
If you get bored.
Yeah, no, it's great conversations. You have some people that really cool connections to Springfield. Really neat.
It's nuts.
Really, really neat
really
conversations.
Is. In retrospect, that's another thing. If you want to start,
the dude from Post Secret,
I did,
and the guy from that other podcast. What's the podcast? The Truth, right? Is that it?
That's him.
Yeah,
Jonathan Mitchell. He's from Springfield.
So cool.
There's no Wikipedia page that's going to inspire you to do what you want to do, because it doesn't exist. Because those people don't flaunt their stuff.
Yeah,
that's the whole motivation behind it. There are people from our community that are doing next level things that aren't going to take the time to say, look at me, I'm doing something awesome. But if you reach out to them and say, wow, I am floored by the things that you get to do, they'll talk to you.
Yeah.
And that's really all it is.
For sure.
It's just people helping people, really.
For sure.
You know, I just appreciate the fact that we get to pick up a conversation. Doesn't matter where we are in our lives, but we get to pick it up. And it's the same conversation.
Yeah, it's a cool way to end the year. I didn't get to come last year. We skipped 2017, so I haven't been on since like 2016, and it's just fun to have this conversation wrap up the year.
Sure.
So, Mitch,
yes.
You can find Geek Awakens, a lot of different podcast apps. You're just about everywhere, correct? You're on Spotify and all of that as well. Go ahead and play one more time.
Yeah, definitely. Like, pretty much, Spotify, Audacity, Audacity. That's what we record on. It's been a long day.
Stitcher.
And, thank you.
I like Overcast. That's my app of choice. But you can find us on
Spotify. I don't know.
Go look at
Spotify.
Go look at the Geek Awakens just about everywhere and follow them on social media. But thank you so much for listening, and thank you for helping us do what we do. And we just love you for it. So
go start a podcast.
So go start a podcast. That's our message going into 2020. For the Front Row Network, I am Craig.
Mitch.
Bye.
That was Jeremy. And we will see you real soon in the front row looking at some Lincoln's Legends and maybe even waking up with a bunch of geeks in 2020. So thank you all so much, and have a great, great day, evening, whenever you're listening to this. Just have a wonderful and happy new year.
Go do a thing.
Go do a thing.
This episode is a production of the Front Row Network, a proud Community Voices member of National Public Radio, Illinois. For more information and to see the full slate of Front Row Network shows, you can visit frnpod.com or nprillinois.org.